Kingsport, Tennessee, lived up to its name and slogan, calls itself the Model City. And it was the absolute easiest PDF we had to deal with. Everything was laid out beautifully.
I am Reese Tisdale, and this is The Future of Water, in which we talk about all the ways in which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. This is episode 59, and it's a good one. I'm joined today by my colleagues, John Berryman and first-timer Jaime Colon. It's a good one because we're going to talk a fair amount about data and what its value is to the water sector. John has just returned from WEFTEC conference in New Orleans, where a host of companies and people approached him about the outlook for utility expenditures in the U.S. So he's going to share some thoughts on that and the demand side of the data equation. On the other side of that, we're going to talk with Jaime, Bluefield's data guru, who's going to share some thoughts on his experiences in collecting water sector data, scrubbing it, cleaning it, and presenting water industry insights through Bluefield's Data Navigator visualization platform. So rather than hear me drone on about what it all means, let's jump into it with John and Jaime. All right, so I'm joined here by John Berryman and Jaime Colon. John, how's it going?
Things are great, Reese. Things are great. My Arsenal boys are still top of the table for the Premier League. I'm going to use this platform, obviously, every other week that I'm on here just to kind of plug that Arsenal's playing really well right now. So any client who wants to discuss with me, please feel free to throw some time in my calendar. I'm always available.
So I got a little something because I just got back from London and I was with the kids. And one of my sons, the youngest, is a big Man City fan.
Yeah.
And so he had a Man City hat on. And this is for all the listeners who are Premier League fans. And there was a game that happened earlier that day. So there was a rowdy bunch of hooligans on the train and they kept shouting at him, asking him if he was a vegan also, and as well as a Man City fan. Just, you know, if veganism is really popular, so is Man City.
That's brutal. Yeah. The UK fans are pretty tough. I mean, we had a scheduled game yesterday that got postponed against Man City. City lost to Liverpool over the weekend. So, yeah, I mean, if you're winning the league six times out of 10, you're going to be, you got a target on your back.
Believe me, I'm a little embarrassed that my son is a Man City fan, but it's also nice to talk about Premier League. Usually with Dave McGimsey on the Water Values podcast, we talk a little bit about baseball. He's a big Mariners fan, so he's had a decent year. So with that being said, Jaime, first timer on the Future Water podcast. How's it going?
I'm doing fantastic, Reese. Long time listener, first time caller. In the same vein, I'm also excited about Louisiana sports. I'm excited to move on from the Saints, who have had a rough start to the year, but the Pelicans beat the heck out of the Brooklyn Nets last night. So things are looking up. Things are looking up for me. But I'm hoping that we can just kind of have share the spotlight here a little bit, talk about some of the data offerings that we're going to be adding to our different channels here at Bluefield.
So, all right, well, thanks for the segue. That helps because there are 82 games a year in the basketball season. You got a long way to go, Pelicans fan. So let's talk water. John, in passing things over to you to let you sort of direct this conversation, just started off with, you just came from New Orleans for the annual WEFTEC conference where you're meeting with clients, water industry companies. And one of the takeaways, it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, was there's a thirst for data and information about the water sector. Any thoughts or ways that you can expand on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Just in general, WEFTEC this year felt really good. Energy was high, turnout was high. I think part of the reason, I think we're tired of talking about COVID, but obviously 2 years on, it's good to have everybody in the same place again, doing the face-to-face meetings. That always makes a difference, I got to say. But also, I just think this time of year is really helpful to have a big convention where most of us are in this strategic planning season anyway. And it just, every conversation was very much, what can we do? Where can we go from here? So to that end, conversations that I was having and kind of topic that kept coming up again was clients of ours want actionable data. It's how can I send out a team to the city of New Orleans, for example, and let them know, look, we can do XYZ for you, and then actually do it. So part of what we have taken up over the last, I mean, we've done it now for 2 years, is really diving into the utility CIPs and categorizing it as such so that it's helpful for our clients to send out business development teams or even just overall planning. So Jaime, now I'm going to actually just bring you in here. So your primary focus for Bluefield was quarterbacking our data related activities in general. Obviously, one of the big activities has been focused on CIPs over the last few months, or capital improvement plans. Can we just rudimentary, let's go to the basics. What are capital improvement plans? What do they tell us?
Yeah, absolutely. So most large public utilities, water utilities, will put out some kind of financial plan, whether that's included as a portion of their annual budget, or those who are kind enough to actually make a separate document called their capital improvement plan, where they outline what they're going to spend on in the next usually 5 to 10 years, sometimes as many as 40 or 50, what they're going to spend on as far as individual pieces of infrastructure, whether it's water main replacements, pumps, water treatment facility improvements. And they put down all of those projects and their best estimate as to what those projects are going to cost in a given year. Any of our listeners who are familiar with these documents know that they're a big pain to go through because they're all super non-standard. Each PDF is completely different. Sometimes navigating these utilities' websites can be a challenge in and of themselves. So we said, let's do the hard work for our clients. Me, Isabel Kesman, who deserves a big shout out, and a team of trusty interns have dove into the data for the past few months, digging through all of these municipal government websites, city websites, and then utility websites to just grab all this data, categorize it, and make it as clean, as actionable as we can. So because of the non-standard nature of them, having them all in one place, cleanly organized, categorized, becomes all the more important.
Just out of curiosity, Jaime, any idea how many like cell or data points you have in the master sheet? Any idea?
Yeah. So it turned out to be something like, I think, a little over 400,000 observations. To translate it to a more intuitive understanding, we have 747 utilities that are represented, 38,000 individual projects, regardless of how many years they occur in, and $257 billion in CapEx through the end of the decade. And that's just the amount that was actually put down on paper. We also go ahead and add in a layer of projections for line items that we believe to be probable to reoccur, right? If we see multiple years of spending on a single line item, we added in a layer, a filterable layer, so that our clients can turn it on and off to see what we expect to continue into the future.
One thing is, we've looked at, you mentioned 747 Jaime, water utilities. That's water, wastewater, and stormwater.
That's correct, yeah.
But also, what's the size of the systems that you've looked at?
Yeah, so we're focusing on the largest systems that we can get a hold of. So that's, we're focusing on being above 50,000 connections. So these are the largest systems in North America. And we should also say that this covers US and Canada, and covering at least one in every state or province.
Okay, so we covered a lot of ground just there in that Jaime monologue, but just to kind of put a bow on it, can you kind of highlight again for us what's the value that we're bringing to clients in going through all this tedious data scraping? What are we then doing with all the collected information, and how are we laying it out to clients so that it's actually actionable and helpful for them?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're placing the data into our Navigator platform, which is a visualization tool that we have It's client-only access. And what it does is it lays down the information as cleanly as possible, allows you to dynamically filter down and search for the specifics of whatever you're looking for. So it doesn't matter if you're a digital software service company trying to see what some utility in California is trying to spend on some monitoring system in the next few years, or whether you're someone who sells pipe to a utility in Florida, you can narrow the data set down quickly and efficiently so that you can get that information in and out of the platform as you please. That is the, I think, the simplest, most obvious case for a use case for this. But it also is like the largest bottom-up data set that we've ever built for municipal spending. So there's untold possibilities as far as how it can be used as an input into forecasts or market sizing exercises, or how it can help give us a picture of the broader market.
The other, if I might jump in there also, I mean, one thing to add about this data is we've basically taken it from the bottom up as opposed to the top down, right? So you can capture the water spend, the wastewater spend, stormwater spend, capital expenditures over time, right, at a top line. And I think that's available. I think other providers maybe even have that. But I think from our perspective, Jaime mentioned the 38,000 or so projects that we look at. We've taken all of those projects and looked at them as they are based on the definitions of, in the descriptions, and categorized them. And, you know, I think, and Jaime, I don't know if you mentioned this, but we categorize them across approximately 50 categories, right? So if it's a pipe rehabilitation project, then it falls into a pipe and network category. If it's a pump project or lift stations, then it falls into, you know, a pump category. So depending on what you are, your company does, your products or services or solutions, you can use that to help determine, you know, a potential addressable market, at least within this data set.
And how many years out do these typically go?
So the CIPs vary a lot. There are a small minority of them that will only do 1 or 2 years. Like, they'll just list individual projects for the next year. Most are 5 or 10 year plans. And there are a special few who project out 50 years at a time.
Reese, I do want to bring you in here for your, I mean, obviously you've got the commercial experience. So just kind of help us understand, because it is, there's a lot to kind of digest with all this. Obviously, we're talking about how can clients use this data? Is this a forecast? So just kind of give us a little bit more color here on different ways that clients can use this for their own benefits.
Yeah, I would say this has evolved for us. I mean, you know, at Bluefield, in the sense that, you know, we've traditionally every year tracked, you know, from 75 to 100 CIPs, just to sort of get a read on the market of what's happening. It's basically a benchmarking exercise for us to get an idea from year to year. So we started this maybe 2015, 2016. More recently, however, this was really driven by a client. A client came to us and said, this is something we would be interested in. And their interest was and is for using it for business development. One, to go into a specific utility, whether it be, like you mentioned, New Orleans, or whether it be Boston or New York or Fort Lauderdale, you know, pick your city. They go in and their business development team is better armed for a conversation with the, whether it be the strategic team of the utility or the procurement team. You know, they have at least some idea of what their budget and budget planning looks like, both from sort of on the boots on the ground or on the ground, you know, asset needs and services, but also just from a timing perspective. So that's really, I think, a real value add we're providing to clients. The other is, as Jaime mentioned, also to make strategic assumptions, right? If you're forecasting the market, there's 75,000 water and wastewater systems in the U.S. So to do a capital and go through every capital improvement plan, it's pretty tough. Many of them are pretty small. But if we're looking at, let's say, I mean, this is back of the envelope. So we're looking at $257 billion over 10 years, you know, so that's divided by 10, you're looking at $25 billion a year. So you're looking at, you know, probably 20% of the total market, but it's a really good sample size from which someone in a strategy department can make assumptions on size, figuring out total addressable market. And so you can use this information. It's such detail to make assumptions. And I'd say lastly, you know, we're pretty transparent. I mean, to Jaime's point, we're posting this online for our clients. There's a dashboard. It's interactive. You can download the data. If you have questions about it, you can always ask about it. But also if, you know, we don't have one utility that you're interested in, we've already been talking to other clients to say, hey, you know, we can do these 10 if that's what you're interested in, whether it be in Southeast Florida or whether it be in Texas or California. You know, make your list, come to us, and we're always willing to discuss it. I think the most important part is we know how to do it. You know, not only have we been doing it for years, but I would say this past year, thanks to Jaime, thanks to Isabel and the rest of the team, we've really built up a solid platform, not only for, you know, this year, but we've also gone through this exercise at such depth for last year as well.
So who is this available to?
Right now, it's available to Insight Service clients. So if you are a member of our municipal corporate subscription, well, US and Canada corporate subscription, you have access to this through Data Navigator. So that's really the main point of this. We're rounding out some of the final data points to provide some top line insights that'll be shared through a deck in the coming weeks. You know, we've already shared some of that actually on this podcast, you know, like the total dollar. So it'll be interesting to see the reception. I, without a doubt, engineering companies, hardware companies are all about this. And I think we may have even had some investment companies that have already come to us asking about it as well.
So it sounds to me like it allows your teams to, you're not really shooting from the hip. If you're knocking on a utility store, you know what their budget is planned for. You know, you're kind of coming in armed with data. And it sounds like that's kind of from my conversations at WEFTEC, that's definitely what people are hoping to have in their holster.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, it's, I mean, I think, even just in Jaime's comments, he's partly understating how difficult the task is. And every single one of these documents, it's different. And I mean, to go so far as to say that some of them are on legal paper or legal pad, I mean, we're not far from that. Some of them are just photographs of documents. It's not an easy exercise. And so, you know, I think anybody who's gone through this knows how tough it is.
Yeah. To Reese's point there, I mean, that was some of the things that I feel like I was able to help with. Some of the documents were actual scans of physical pieces of paper that the utility uploaded. And we used scripts that leverage optical character recognition technology to just read them and give us a lift the text off of those images so we could like work with them more quickly.
Pretty cool. I mean, we're glad to have a data guru like you on the team, Jaime. Let's have a little fun. I mean, is there anything worth mentioning in this however many month exercise voyage that you just went on?
Yeah, I don't think you can look at 750 anythings in North America and not come away with some fun takeaways. So Ohio wins an award from us for the most unoriginal town names. There were almost half of Ohio's CIPs that we collected shared exact names with another town somewhere in the U.S., so that was a challenge. The city of Miramar in Florida is spending on a smart city surveillance system and real-time crime center, which just sounds pretty dystopian. I don't know what's going on down there. Given all the Florida Man headlines, maybe they need it. Then we have the city of Arlington, Texas, which uploaded its CIP as a stop-motion Lego video. It is literally like a city budget laid out in a stop motion video format. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, but it's actually amazing. I think probably a significant portion of their annual budget is dedicated to whatever this production was. It was honestly a little impressive.
I think, Jaime, I think I'll cut you off there for a second and say that you should probably, why don't you tweet that and let everybody have a little bit of fun?
Yeah, that's probably worth the tweet. And I'll end it with Kingsport, Tennessee, who lived up to its name and slogan, calls itself the Model City. And it was the absolute easiest PDF we had to deal with. Everything was laid out beautifully. Everything was sectioned off. The descriptions were where you wanted them. And it was very easy to convert. Thank you, Kingsport, Tennessee. If anyone listening is from there, bless your heart.
Wow. Shout out to the volunteers. I love it. That's a good one. All positive too. I mean, I think if I recall last year when we were going through it, there were at least one, if not a couple in Texas where there were some ammunition purchases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of the budget. I suspect I'll just take a more optimistic note or take the high road and assume that it was for wildlife and animal control.
Well, Reese, let's wrap it up. And what other research do we have coming out for Manner of the Year? What's on the agenda?
Well, I think, following up on this, I mean, a big part of this is partly is because of Jaime and his efforts, but we've got state revolving funds. We've gone through that. That's coming out. I think that's actually already published on our Data Navigator, at least the data itself. We'll have something coming out on that. The big one is or will be our capital and operating expenditure forecast. I just got out of a meeting yesterday. I think we are done with those forecasts. We're doing a couple of scenario tweaks to that, but there will be a report coming out in the coming weeks. We're really excited about that. Other things that I know Jaime's been working on, I'll just put words in his mouth. Stormwater systems, we've got a dashboard on that, combined stormwater overflows. Our midstream water, so that's for oil and gas, fracking specifically. We'll be updating our forecast on that. And then something long list here, corporate sustainability update. So new targets have come out, and I know our colleague Amber Walsh has been working on that. So lots happening, and admittedly, it's Q4, so we're trying to get, like everybody else, as much done before the ball drops on the 31st of December.
Great. I appreciate all that, Reese and Jaime. We're definitely grateful for all the work that you put into that CIP data set.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I want to highlight again the efforts of our interns. Let me give them a quick shout out. Eric Youth, Jason Curran, Nicola Bacon, Charlie Seuss, Ethan LeGrand. We've been in the trenches for the past few months, but all of them were excellent interns, worked incredibly hard, and hopefully we have something good to show for it.
Great. And we got to thank the Academy and cue the Academy music, walk us off stage. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, guys. Yeah, thanks, Jaime. Thanks, John. This is perfect. And we'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
All right, there you go. That's our discussion on the capital improvement plans and data that we've been working on. So a bit of an infomercial about Bluefield Research, but it also hopefully gives everyone an idea about how we help people. And Jaime is a bit of a character in his own right. So before we sign off, if you're in Boston, let us know. We can set up a meeting at our location downtown, 10 minutes from the airport, 10 minutes from the train. It doesn't get any easier unless you're driving, I suppose. Please subscribe, give the Future Water Podcast a review. Thirdly, send us a note at waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas you'd like us to discuss. We're doing this for you. And lastly, tell a friend all about it. It's always good to reach out. I share podcasts all the time. I listened to a really good one this morning on green hydrogen in Europe. So I thought I'd share that with someone. So do the same for the Future Water. Lastly, this podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. To learn more about us, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Until we talk again, be well, be safe, and take care.